Hi, my name's Mr. Barlow, and welcome to episode 3 of A Bunch of Interesting Stuff. In today's show, I'll be talking about a paper aeroplane that can fly in space, a real-life magic carpet, a bridge made out of bamboo, stinky squirrels, and an asteroid that may hit Earth. Remember, if you'd like to know more about any of the topics discussed, just click on the links that appear in the iTunes album art throughout the episode. Now, paper planes. Paper planes are cool. I once made a paper plane, and I thought it was pretty good, and I threw it, and it went about 1 meter, and it would have stayed in the air for about a tenth of a second. But I was proud. It was great. The Guinness World Record for the time aloft for a paper aeroplane is 27.6 seconds. That actually doesn't sound very much until you count it out in your head. Imagine you threw a paper aeroplane, and it didn't hit the ground for 27.6 seconds. That's a really long time for a paper aeroplane to be in the air. That's nothing compared to what a paper aeroplane might do if a Japanese professor gets his way. This professor, he's collaborating with some origami masters, so they're people who can fold paper really, really well, and they're designing a small paper spacecraft that's going to be launched from the International Space Station, and what's more, it's going to survive a descent to Earth. The challenge there really is that when things re-enter Earth's atmosphere, they get really, really hot. So this space plane, made out of paper, it's actually not very big. It's only about 20 centimeters long, but it's made of paper and it's passed wind tunnel tests at speeds of Mach 7, which is hypersonic speed, really, really fast. And it can also survive temperatures of 200 degrees Celsius, which is really, really, really hot. So this is an amazing plane. Hopefully it all happens and we have paper airplanes flying down from space on top of us soon. Humans are pretty smart to figure out these kind of things, but we're not as smart as we think. Some psychologists did a bit of research on, and they tested whether or not humans or chimpanzees have better short-term memories. So they got three adult female chimpanzees, 3 5-year-old chimpanzees, and a bunch of human university students. And they did a whole series of tests, and the results were a little bit surprising, but basically, the young chimps won. So, the 5-year-old chimpanzees have got better short-term memories than humans, which is not that surprising considering chimpanzees are pretty smart, and also considering that chimpanzees and humans have 94% of all of their genes in common, which is a lot. We're pretty similar to chimpanzees, humans. Something different is I wish I did more exercise because exercise is really good. It keeps you healthy, and healthy is good. You'll live a long life, and I'd like to live a pretty long life. And a good question is it better or healthier to be really skinny but really unfit? Or is it better to be a little bit chubby and be really fit, so be able to, run really far or something like that? Well, some researchers have tried to figure out the answer to the question, and again, it's a bit surprising. They've found out that it's better to be chubby, or a little bit chubby and fit, than it is to be skinny and unfit. So if you're skinny and unfit, you'll die sooner than someone who's chubby and fit. So that doesn't mean it's a great idea to go out and eat Maccas every day. All it really means is that people who lead healthier lifestyles are probably more likely to live longer. So, just live healthy and you'll live a little bit longer, and that's probably going to be good. So I was watching a cartoon the other day, and there was this guy, and he had a carpet. And it flew. It was a magic carpet. It was fantastic. I thought, geez, I'd like a magic carpet just to be able to, cruise around the skies. That'd be great. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's the thing about science. Never say that's never going to happen. Because just recently, a team of scientists have created a magic carpet. So they've figured out how to make one. Don't start saving any money to go out and buy one because at the moment it's only about 10 centimeters long. And 0.1 of a millimeter thick. So it's not very big right now, but you never know. Maybe one day we'll all be riding around on magic carpets. And maybe one day when we're driving around, we'll all be driving over bridges made of bamboo. The way they figured this out is there's a whole bunch of bamboo in China, and it's great for all the pandas to eat, I'm sure. But some guys just built a bridge made out of bamboo in China, and the bridge can support a 16-ton truck. And that's because, weight for weight, bamboo is stronger than steel when stretched, and it's more robust than concrete when compressed. So bamboo might be kind of the bridge-building material of the future. It's also more environmentally sustainable, and you never know. The only problem, I suppose, might be if pandas decided to come along and eat the supports. But they'll figure that problem out too, I'm sure. I've already spoken about how chimpanzees are pretty smart. Humans are smart, but squirrels are pretty smart too. Life's tough for a squirrel, actually. You have to rummage around, finding nuts and whatever else you can find to eat. But the thing is, because they're small and they're actually a bit tasty, they get preyed on by eagles, raccoons, red foxes, badgers, weasels, and rattlesnakes. So you never know. You can't turn anywhere if you're a squirrel without someone trying to eat you, really. But don't worry about it. They're not just lying down and, saying it's all over, eat me. They've got some really smart things that they've decided to do to try and stop themselves being eaten. And a great example is squirrels find skins that snakes have discarded and get the skin and they rub it all over themselves so that they stink like a rattlesnake. That tricks the rattlesnake into thinking that the squirrel's not really there, or it's not a squirrel, it's a rattlesnake instead. So they leave the squirrel alone, and the squirrel lives another day. It's amazingly smart, some of those squirrels. So you're either listening to this on your iPod, which is great, or you're sitting in front of your computer listening to this, and that's great too. But did you know that a new report has shown that more than 1 billion computers are on the planet? And this global IT sector is responsible for about 2% of human carbon dioxide emissions each year, which is a similar figure to the global airline industry. So, normally you think carbon emissions are caused by burning fossil fuels and driving your car around and things like that. But no, sitting there in front of your computer, you're emitting carbon into the atmosphere, and so am I. So we should turn off our computers and go for a run so that we can get chubby and fit, or something. There's always a fair bit of research going on in climate change these days, and there was an interesting one that came out, and it was a chain of events, I suppose. So we know humans release massive amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and what happens then is the carbon dioxide causes a global greenhouse effect, and the greenhouse effect results in global warming. And global warming causes rises in ocean temperature, not just air temperature. And rises in ocean temperature have led to an increase in the amount of plankton around an island in southern Japan. This increase in plankton numbers has led to an increase in the number of crustaceans around the island. So that's an organism with an exoskeleton. The crustaceans around the island are digging small holes in the island to make nests for themselves to live in, little caves. The small holes are weakening the rock on the island. As a result of that, the rock is rapidly eroding as a result of bioerosion. And this bioerosion is causing the island to disappear. So if you go back to the very start, because we're releasing huge amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, an island is going to disappear. Now, all this carbon dioxide in the atmosphere causing global warming isn't just resulting in islands disappearing. In 2006, the data's just come back. Antarctica, which is that continent at the bottom half of the Earth, lost nearly 200 billion tons of ice. So that's how much ice melted off Antarctica in 2006. That's a lot of ice. It actually only resulted in a sea level rise of about half a millimeter. Now, that doesn't sound like very much, but it's actually 75% more than the result in 1996. So the amount of ice melting off Antarctica is increasing. So if it keeps increasing, the sea level keeps, getting higher and higher, things could get worse and worse. So I thought it's just something to keep thinking about. We keep finding out more data that global warming's happening and bad things could happen. Another term scientists has actually figured out a great way to stop global warming. So, don't worry, we're on top of it. The best or one thing to do is plant some super shiny reflective crops that will bounce sunshine back into space so that it doesn't heat up the planet. Genius! So apparently, if you encourage farmers to grow shinier crops, it could reduce maximum daytime temperatures in those agricultural regions by as much as 1.9 degrees, so basically 2 degrees. So if we plant these shiny crops that bounce sunlight back into space, we could make it 2 degrees cooler. That's amazing. We're going to solve global warming by planting mirror plants. We'll be able to sit back and just chew some chewing gum and just relax. But before we do that, we might want to think about how much chewing gum we're actually eating every day. Because if you chew too much sugar-free gum, it can lead to severe weight loss and bowel problems like diarrhea. So, sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? But many sugar-free products contain a sweetener called sorbitol. So, this thing called sorbitol can have laxative effects if you take it in large enough amounts. And you actually don't have to eat that much chewing gum to get a fairly large dose of sorbitol. So, some chewing gum contains about a bit over 1 gram of sorbitol per piece. And if you eat 5 grams of sorbitol a day, you can get basically diarrhea. So if you're eating more than 5 pieces of chewing gum every day, you might want to think about changing that habit. Earth is really big. Like if you sit here and you look around and you think, wow, how far away is America or Europe or Australia or China? It's a pretty big planet. And it weighs a lot too. It weighs a heap, billions and billions of kilograms. But it's not really that big when you think about all the things in space. For example, our sun weighs about 330,000 times as much as the planet Earth, which is quite a lot heavier, I think you'll agree. But that's nothing compared to the biggest black hole anybody's ever found. They just found it, and it weighs 18 billion times as much as the sun. Wow, that's enormous. So a black hole is it's just an object in space, really, and it's got a really, really strong gravitational pull. So if you're standing on Earth and you jump up, Earth pulls you back down. So what pulls you back down? Gravity. Gravity pulls you back down to Earth. Well, black holes, the gravity on black holes is really, really huge. So if, let's say it was possible to stand on a black hole, and if it was possible to jump, if you jumped, you would be pulled down so hard and so fast that you would be squished into nothingness. Your everything, every particle in your entire body would be squished down into something not even the size of a head of a pin, and you die. So that's all a black hole is really. It's just a big, really, it's a big ball of stuff. But its gravity is really, really strong, so that if things, go near it, they can get sucked into it and squished up really, really small. And you'd probably die. In fact, you'd definitely die. There's a whole bunch of other stuff flying around space too. So there's comets flying around space all the time. And there's not that many, but wonder what would happen if two comets, which are both flying through space and they're going pretty fast, they smashed straight into each other. What would happen? Well, the answer is they've just found out they turn into a peanut. Well, not a peanut that you would eat, in fact, but it's the shape of a peanut. So if two round comets smash into each other, they stick together, and then they end up kind of looking like a peanut. There's been a bit of talk about comets and asteroids lately. So first of all, some scientists found out that there was a 1 in 75 chance of an asteroid hitting Mars on the 30th of January 2008. And I thought, wow, that'll be exciting if that happens. And then they did some more research. They looked at some more data and they figured out that the chance had increased to 1 in 25. So it was a 1 in 25 chance of an asteroid hitting Mars. And I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be really exciting. And a whole bunch of scientists were excited because they'd be able to see what happens when an asteroid hits a planet. It was going to be great. But then they did some more research and looked at some more data and took some more measurements, and now they've figured out that the chance of the asteroid hitting Mars is about 1 in 10,000, which pretty much means it's not going to hit. So that's a bit disappointing, but I was excited there for a while. So right now, there's also another asteroid, and it's a bit more concerning. This one's 130 meters across. So the one heading for Mars was 50 meters across. This one's 130 meters across. It's traveling at a speed of 70,000 kilometers per hour. It's pretty big, it's going pretty fast. And it's headed in our direction. I hate to break it to you. At the moment, it's 90 million kilometers from Earth, so it's quite a long way away. It's not going to arrive until 2048, so we've got a fair bit of time, 40 years to plan for it. So you're feeling a little bit panicky, a bit scared, a little bit worried? Well, don't. At this stage, it's got about a 1 in 3,030 chance of hitting Earth. And a better way to think about that is there's a 99.9% chance that it's going to miss. So pretty much it's going to miss. So don't be too worried. But you never know. And that worrying piece of news brings episode 3 of A Bunch of Interesting Stuff to a close. To learn more, head over to mrbarlow.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening.